Shalom, thank you for joining me this week. This is Rabbi Jim Egolf. Well, the piece I'm going to share with you this week kind of does a little bit of a gloss on our Torah portion, then gets to an issue that we were facing at a recent meeting of our local community, the Kehillah of Lower Merion, dealing with the issue of anti-Semitism. Recently, there have been some acts at a couple of the local schools, and the question to the community is, well, what do you do about it? But this also kind of ties into our Torah portion, which speaks of the perfection of the priests and also about time. When will it be that we can actually teach the world that there is no good time to be an anti-Semite and that perfection is never found through the hatred of others? I thank you so much for joining me. Please continue to listen, and Shavua Tov. Shalom. As I looked at our Torah portion this week, it became increasingly apparent to me that we continue to fight certain battles again and again. Ein chadash tachat hashamash, there is nothing new under the sun, is a quote ascribed to King Solomon, and perhaps is a little too true. But first I want to share a short synopsis of the Torah portion and how it tries to warn us about the use and misuse of truths. Our Torah portion deals with two major issues. First is that of the condition of the priests and high priest. There are long lists of what these men must do in order to attain their status in the community and keep themselves above the people and closer to God. In a word, they seem to teeter on a list of expectations that can only be called extreme when it comes to their marriages, their personal behavior, and their job descriptions. On the one hand, these seem to be a rough list, and on the other hand, maybe it was easier to have everything laid out for you, and all you had to do was to tend to the various sacrifices in the temple. Still, when I read through these various lists and wonder about the perfection of the priests, I have to wonder if anyone was ever that perfect and had absolutely no blemishes, no scars from being a kid, no moles. I know that neither I nor my sons would have ever been able to qualify, since we all have blemishes and scars, though mostly little ones, just from growing up and being kids. Then we come to the rest of the Torah portion about the time calendar. The Parsha spells out the special times and the seasons of the Israelite community, and one could almost write the Jewish calendar, well, at least the Israeli Jewish calendar, from this Torah portion. Here, too, there are some things missing, but in general, if you wanted a Torah portion named Parshat Calendar, Emor is it. Yet this part of the Torah speaks to us of time, and thus I want to take the first part and the second part and talk about how they are colliding in our community today. What happens when we take the notion of perfection tied to the priests and apply it to the notion of time and calendar that arise later in our Torah portion? What happens in a world where time becomes the most precious commodity that we have, and we begin to use time as the judgment of something's or everything's worth? A few years ago at Beth David, we engaged in an act of seeming heresy. We made the start time of our services 45 minutes earlier. On the one hand, you would think that the congregation that had the latest start time for Shabbat, well, we would have naturally been drawn to an earlier time. However, you would have thought that we had asked the high priest to eat a roast pork sandwich or that we wanted to change the start of Passover to the 18th of Nisan, which, for the record, we did neither. However, what began to happen was a discussion over time and, more importantly, meaning in services. Several people came and expressed that if they felt the meaning was there, the message was there, the sacredness of a service would speak to them, and then they would make it to services. Thus, to dip back into our Torah portion, the time was less important than the messages and ideas conveyed to the congregation through our actual observance of Shabbat. We had discovered that most congregants in our community aren't waiting for the right time. They're waiting for the right meaning. Not the perfect meaning, but the idea of finding meaningful, good experiences that speak to them. At this meeting, we're going to have a discussion about something that sadly continues to demand meaning in our community. Recently, we had some acts of anti-Semitism at some of the local schools here in Lower Merion. The notion that anti-Semitism continues and that we must have a conversation about those who would see an expression of hatred towards the Jewish community as something worthwhile and even meaningful continues to trouble us. As we all know, this is not the first time, and as many of us know, this won't be the last time. Ein chadash tachat ha-shamash. There is nothing new under the sun. However, what we really have to do, and what my hope is that we take the idea of the priest found in our Torah portion and remember the things that disqualified them, what made them unfit for leadership. May we try to take anti-Semitism and continue to move its idea and its adherents into the categories of those people who are pasul, or in Hebrew, illegitimate, or to borrow a term from another world, treif, from being qualified leaders, and making it treif for leaders, any leader, making it absolutely unacceptable for any person to engage in the hatred of Jews for their own gain. Let us hold those leaders who have done this, whether it be Farrakhan, David Duke, or the president of Iran, to the standard that the hatred of Jews is intolerable. It defiles. It is a blemish, a scar on them as leaders. And let us as a Jewish community teach others that expressing hatred towards others for no reason, in Hebrew, sinat chinam, is a blemish that will make any leader unacceptable, regardless of the time or age in which they live. Shabbat shalom and shuvu matam.